There's an amazing thing in the Bible. Over and over and over again, God seems to choose people and they think he's made a mistake. It just happens too many times to not be a coincidence. God calls Moses, and he doesn't just call him, he gives him this miraculous burning bush calling. And Moses, after he sees this miracle, he hears the voice of God. Moses' response was, God, that's awesome. Take Aaron, my brother. Incredible. It's like, God, you've made a mistake. He said, Moses said, I can't talk very good. I've got these issues. And so I think Aaron's a better choice. Over and over. When Saul was chosen the first king of Israel, they couldn't find him. They're announcing him. And now announcing the new king, Saul. And he was hiding behind the farm equipment. He thought, I'm the wrong guy. Again and again. We get into the New Testament. Paul was a murderer. Timothy was too young. Rahab in the line of David, one of the ancestors of David, was a prostitute. I mean, it just goes on and on. How is it that God seems to pick people that nobody else would pick? David was chosen to be the king of Israel, and his father even forgot that he was there. Father's going like, well, there's my number one son, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. Samuel's going, no, 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 no. And Samuel says, is there anybody else? Jesse goes, oh, right, there's Dave. He's out in the field. But he's young and he's a redhead. Can anything good come from a redhead? Just in case you're wondering, that used to be what I was, a redhead. Yes, I know. It's not evident now. My five-year-old granddaughter said to me this week, Papa, what happened to your hair? I said, they have no respect, these grandchildren. They don't know the importance of us old guys. They just ask hard questions that you don't ask an old bald guy. You don't say that. Gideon is the classic example of somebody that God chose, who he didn't even think that he could do anything. When we find Gideon in Judges chapter 6, he's hiding in a wine press. A wine press was dug out of the ground. It was hidden from view. And Gideon's in there beating out the chaff from the wheat. And the angel comes to Gideon and he's hiding. He's hiding for fear of the enemy. He's hiding. And the angel says, "Hail, mighty man of valor." Gideon is shocked, has no idea what's going on. Later on, he argues with the angel and says, hey, look, I am of the least tribe of Israel, and I'm the youngest of my father's clan. You have the wrong person, essentially. And the angel says, go in this might of yours. The angel just keeps saying these positive things about this guy who's going, no, 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 you've got the wrong guy. I can't do it. I'm not the one. I don't have the clout. I don't have the reputation. The angel says, yes, you will. Go in this might of yours. It's crazy. Gideon finally agrees. And the angel says, I have sent you. So go and do what I've told you to do. And of course, Gideon wins a great victory. All through this room, there are men, and you rate yourself, evaluate yourself by what you're not good at, by your weaknesses, by your shortcomings, by your faults. I want to tell you today that God sees things in you that you don't see in yourself. God sees potential in you. God sees a future that you don't see in yourself. The Bible calls us to be strong and courageous as men. It's a big challenge because we've got all of these ideas in our minds from our culture, what it means to be strong and courageous. And most of us don't feel particularly strong or courageous. We have these Hollywood presentations. I don't know if you've noticed, but most of the movies that are coming out now are superhero movies. No pressure, guys, at all. You know, just now, everybody's supposed to be Iron Man or the Hulk or, you know, Spider-Man, something incredible. I'm none of those things. I mean, I can't hardly climb up the stairs, let alone the side of a building. And then they're saying, this is the man of the ages. Little older movie, Braveheart, you know? The guy, William Wallace, just like, he's a man's man. Freedom! You know, it's just, that's the picture. Most of us are thinking, I'm not that guy. If you're into sports, you know, recently it was either LeBron James or Alex Ovechkin, if you're into hockey. I mean, these guys are superheroes. Most of us are probably not like that. Some of us in our minds are like that. Some of you guys here are saying, yeah, I could have played in the NHL. I just, you know, decided not to. Really, you know, I had some other stuff. I prefer to work at a gas station, actually. It's what I do. But if I'd wanted to, you know, the NHL, maybe even the NFL, could have done a number of sports, you know. Some guys in their minds, they're like that. The Bible gives us some reasons to be strong and courageous. Let me give you some scripture. 2 Chronicles 32 says, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or dismayed, for there are more with us than are with your enemies. First reason to be strong and courageous, there are many with you when you're in God. Second reason, Deuteronomy 31 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. So the first verse said, there are many with you. This verse says, God goes with you, sir. And the third verse from the same idea, Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. The scripture is giving us reasons to pick up our courage. God goes before you, he goes with you, and he brings his crew with him, the spiritual forces of angels on your behalf. So whenever God says be strong and of good courage, it's not just be stronger, be more courageous in yourself. It's be strong, be courageous, because I'm going to go with you. It's like when you're a kid and you say, my dad can beat your dad. My dad's bigger than your dad. This is saying to the devil, my dad will beat you. And Jesus proved it at the cross. Be strong and courageous because God goes before you, because he's with you, and because he brings all of the forces of heaven to bear on your behalf. Well then, let me give you a scripture, guys, and I know this is a brutal thing to ask, but I want you to write this scripture down, take a note, put it in your phone. And if you could ever memorize a verse of scripture, I'd like you to think about trying to get this one in your head. It's Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, verse 13. And I believe this is the key to you being a man who makes a difference in this life and for eternity. Psalm 27, 13. The king says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'd like everybody in the room to read verse 14 with me. Are you ready? Good, loud Richmond voice. Here we go. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is the key, guys. The king says, I would have lost heart. I would have fallen into a depression. I would have become so discouraged that I couldn't go on. But I believed that I would see the goodness of God while I was living. And then he gives men one of the hardest things to ever do, and it's to wait on God to do his work in your life. To not run off and do it our own way, to not follow the ways of the world, but to wait on the Lord and to stick with the plan. Some of you have already experienced what happens when you get off the pathway of God's plan and you take matters into your own hands, or you follow the counsel of those who are ungodly. The result is usually destruction and sorrow in your life. Men, if you want to be a man of courage, then determine today, I'm going to go God's way, and then make this commitment that I will wait on the Lord. Things might not be the way I want them to be. I may not see all of my dreams having come to pass yet, but I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to let Him work on my behalf. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. I'm not going to stray from the path of God. I'm going to wait on the Lord, and it will see you through. It will see you through those hard times that you come to. Second thing I want to challenge you to do, men, is to live for something that's bigger than yourself. And today, there's probably a lot of guys, fathers especially, thinking about a legacy. A legacy. A legacy is something that you leave for the next generation or the next generations. I want to testify that I have been blessed by the legacy of generations. And I only share it as a testimony that you can be the founder of a legacy for generations to come. It doesn't mean that everybody comes from a great legacy of godliness, but it just means that the plan of God is that if you're not part of a great legacy, that you would be the founder of a great legacy and that God is glorified through your life. Generosity is one of the legacies of life. Generosity is one of the things that will communicate to your sons, your daughters, your family. It leaves a legacy. My father was a man of God. Many of you knew him. He pastored here for a little while. And my father taught me how to be generous. He never had a lot of money, but he would love to share it. My dad loved to give gifts so much that he was hopeless at keeping secrets. He would be so happy to be giving a gift, and it was supposed to be a secret. I remember one time, it was Christmas time coming, and my dad, I'm a grown man now, like I'm in my 20s. And Christmas time was coming, it's the fall, and he'd gone out and bought my Christmas gift already. And he looked at me one day and he just went like this. He used to give, you know, come with me. He didn't say anything, he had this little grin on his face, come with me. So I don't know, I walk with him, we go out to the parking lot, and he opens the trunk and points. There were some golf clubs there, and he just stood there, he's so happy. Christmas was 6 weeks away. They were on sale, so he bought them. And he was just so excited to give a gift that he had to tell me now. I can't wait. It's so wonderful. That's a great legacy. My dad had a godly dad. Grade 5 education. He was a circuit preacher in the prairies. He had 3 little churches. My grandpa left my dad one thing. He left him his Bible. That's all he left it. That's a great legacy. As a result of my grandpa's influence on my dad and his influence on me and my influence on our kids, thousands of people have been touched by the love of Jesus. Sir, what kind of legacy are you living? Are you living for more than yourself? When you live for others, when you live for a legacy, then you live to raise your children so that they'll go beyond you in this life. So that they won't be in your shadow, but they'll be free and released and equipped to surpass you in influence, to surpass you in godliness, to surpass you in every way. That's your dream, to see your kids succeed, to see them go on, to see them go forward in Jesus' name. The Bible has a great story about a leader named Nehemiah. Nehemiah had to raise the morale of people who were under attack. They were trying to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and their enemies were fighting them, so they were having to build the wall with one hand and have a sword in the other hand to beat off the enemies who came. And Nehemiah came and told them this, which is one of the great motivational speeches about living for a legacy. Listen to what Nehemiah says. I said to the nobles and the leaders and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. He didn't say fight for yourself. He said fight for your families, fight for your sons and daughters, fight for your wife, for your house, and do it for others. And it's one of the great causes that elevates men into acts of courage when they think, I'll do it for them. I'll do it for my family. I'll do it for my sons and for my daughters. I'll live a pure life, a holy life. I'll work through my issues. I'll be honest about my struggles. I'll deal with my issues so that I can leave a legacy for my sons and daughters. So I need to just say to everyone in this room, if you want God to be involved in your life, and to the men in the room, if you want to live a courageous life, if you want to live a life that experiences the blessings of God, then you need to make a decision. You do need to choose who you're going to serve this day. Joshua was told to be strong and courageous more than any other leader in the Bible. And Joshua was chosen for his leadership because he made a decision, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Could be that there's a dad in this place, and you're still trying to decide if you're going to follow God or go his ways. Could be there's a mom or a single man in the room, and you're still trying to decide, am I going to give myself 100% to God, or am I going to try other ways? I'm going to check out the options and see how it goes. I want to promise you something, people, that if you want the blessings of God, the first step is that you make a commitment to allow him to be the Lord and the ruler of your life. And once you do that, then you open up all of the potential that God has for you, potential that takes you far beyond anything that you would have ever imagined. I want to speak to the men for the next few minutes, and I want to ask you to think about you at your best. You at your best. I talk to a lot of guys who immediately talk about them at their worst. How's it going? You know, and they'll have some negative thing. I don't want to talk about a negative thing in your life today. I want to talk about when you were at your best. As I was preparing this message, I began to think about the man that I want to be. Men have great intentions. A lot of times women don't respect men because men's intentions don't materialize into action. But our hearts are actually right. We want to live well. We want to live right. We want to be consistent and faithful and all those things. But I want to remind you guys, I want you just to go back in your mind when and ask you a question. When were you at your best? Yourself at your best, when you resisted temptation, when you gave selflessly, when you chose the right thing, when you forgave someone, when you encouraged another, when you were close to God, when your values were in order. I want to suggest that you be that man today in your heart, because that man exists. He's not a myth. He's real. Think of yourself at your best, because most of us think, you know, today I'm not at my best. My daughters, I don't know what they were thinking. They invited me to be a part of a 10-week fitness challenge. You know, first of all is the inference that I'm out of shape, which is absolutely true. You know, I get winded walking across the street. And so I'm in this fitness challenge. So this week, the only thing is you just have to exercise 4 times a week. So this week, I exercised 4 times a week. I exercised the first time I ran at the track and ran up the stairs a few times. I could hardly walk the next day. But I used to run a lot. I used to run 3-4 times a week, an hour at a time, like 10K, 30, 40K a week. And I can remember myself at my best. I just know I'm not there right now. I want to talk to you about yourself at your best. And I want to propose to the men in the room that God sees you at your best. And if you're, of course, there are many, many women in this room, you can apply this to yourself. It's not just to men. We often don't see ourselves as God sees us. We listen to the enemy who tells us this is how everybody sees you. I want you to see yourself today as God sees you. And I want to exert some spiritual authority in your life, that by faith we can declare in God, I am the man that God sees me to be. Not saying I'm not there yet, I'm not perfect. We all say that real easy. I want to challenge you guys today to define yourself not by your failures, not by your weaknesses, not even by your strengths. I want to challenge you to define yourself today by what God sees in you. So we're going to do a little something, a little bit different. I'm going to ask Pastor Randy to come back to the piano and just play that bridge for me. The rest of the band, you can come back as well, because we're going to go back into that bridge. But we'll just have piano while I do this next bit. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to make some declarations over the men in this room. And I'm going to say something, for example, in God, there is more in you than you see. And when I say that, then I'm going to ask, after I say that, I'm going to ask all the men when I give you the signal to say, in God, I am that man. So, all the men in the room, are you ready to say, in God, I am that man? I want you to try it with me, okay? And if you don't do this right, I'm going to keep at it until you do, okay? So, like, there's no escaping. You know, it's only 2 minutes to 12. You can tell I'm wrapping up. It's a bit of a lengthy wrap-up, but don't worry about it. At least you're encouraged. Oh, he's almost at the end already. Okay, the music started. Great, we're going to go for it. I know, it's strategic. Just want to keep you with me here till the end. Ready to say, in God, I am that man? All the men in the room, ready? In God, I am that man. Okay, so now we can double the volume. I know that. Are you ready? Again, in God, I am that man. I'm going to invite all the women now. If you're sitting beside your husband, every time he says, in God, I am that man, if you're beside your husband, I want you to say, wives, in God, you are that. I want you to point at him. Like, if you want to, like, poke him, you can poke him. You are that man. If you're a single man in the room, you say, I am that man. If you're a single woman in the room, hey, it's a bonus day. You get to say, single women, in God, I am that woman. All right? Because the principle applies. So the men are going to say, in God, I am that man. The women are going to say to their husbands, in God, you are that man. And the single women are going to say, in God, I am that woman. So everybody ready to try it together with your part? Do you know your part? Are you ready? Here we go. In God, I am that man. All the men in the room, stand to your feet. Come on, guys. There's no escape. All the men in the room, you don't have to be a dad. Every male person in the room, stand to your feet. If there's a male beside you and they're not standing, poke them, force them. Because we want to speak positively to them. Okay, guys, here we go. In God, there is more in you than you see. This talks about your potential, guys. God saw potential in Gideon when he called him. This says you are becoming a man of God. This says God calls you a mighty man of valor. This says there is more inside of you than you see, that God sees strength, God sees courage, that God sees potential. Ready, guys? In God, I am that man. Secondly, you are God made. You are created. You're not a fluke. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. The strengths that you have, the skills you have, the gifts you have been put inside of you intentionally by God. You are God made. Ready, guys? In God, I am that man. Thirdly, in God, you make an essential contribution. This speaks about the fact that every man is needed in the mission of God. Your contribution is essential. Nobody else brings what you bring to the table in the mission of God. Nobody else has the skill you have. Nobody else has the perspective that you have. You are needed in the strengths. You are needed in the work and the mission of God. You are the person that God made you to be. You are becoming something in the Holy Spirit. In God, you make an essential contribution. Are you ready?
In God, I am that man. Fourth, in God, you are accepted into the inner circle. This is a big one. You are accepted. You belong. In God, you're not on the outside. The picture that comes to mind is playing road hockey when you're a kid and they're picking teams and you end up being like the second to last kid chosen and the captains are going, no, you take him. I don't want him. No, I don't want him. You take him. In God, you are accepted. You belong. You're part of the first string. You're in the main line. You are God's chosen one to be on the team. You are accepted into the inner circle. Ready? In God, I am that man. Number five, in God, you have a great future. This talks about the promise of God, that your future is not just up to you. It says that the past is not what defines you. Your future is defined by the promises of God. This is saying to you, every man in the room, your best days are still in front of you. If you believe in a God of all power and all creativity, your best days are not in your past. Your best days are in front of you. In God, you have a great future. Ready, guys? In God, I am that man. Next, in God, you're not alone. You're with this army that's all around you. You don't have to overcome your problems by yourself. You don't have to do it all alone. You are a part of the army of God. They need you and you need them. In God, you are not in this alone. Ready, guys? In God, I am that man. In God, just two more, you are the head of generations. Let me speak this over you. Whether you're a single man or you're a married man, I want to declare over you that God has a heart that you would have generations that would follow after you. I want to speak in faith that your children will call you blessed, that your wife will respect and honor you. I want to speak in faith that you will leave a godly heritage to the next generation, either in physical sons and daughters or in spiritual sons and daughters. There will be a legacy from your life if you'll let God lead you. In God, you are the head of generations. Ready, men? Shout it out this time. In God, I am that man. Lastly, in God, you are accumulating rewards in heaven. Every gas station, every grocery store has got a rewards card. Do you have, you know, in Superstore and Shoppers Drug Mart, just combine them. I'm so confused. I want my points, but I can't get them. And on it goes. The Bible is the original rewards program. It's the starting point of every reward card. It's not air miles, it's heaven miles. We used to talk about crowns in our jewels in our crowns when I was a kid. There will be rewards. What does this mean, man? This means that God is keeping track of your life. This means that anything you do is accounted for. No gift you give, no kindness you give, no word of encouragement you give will ever be lost. It is accumulating a reward in heaven. You don't need to feel that your contribution is insignificant. Heaven's keeping track of it. And the Bible says there will be a day where you will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to hear those rewards. I want to hear those words and receive the rewards of Jesus. I want him to be pleased with my life. But there are times where I feel like nobody knows what I do. Nobody sees the things that I sacrifice, if I sacrifice. It's not known. But heaven knows, sir. In God, there are rewards for you. In God, he's keeping track of your faithfulness. He's keeping track of your sacrifice, of your generosity. And there's coming a day where there will be a reward given to you. So to all the men in the room, in God, you are accumulating rewards in heaven. You ready? In God, I am that man. Let me just quickly say it one more time in summary for you. There were 8 points. It said, in God, there is more in you than you see. In God, you are created. In God, you make an essential contribution. In God, you are accepted into the inner circle. In God, you have a great future. In God, sir, you are not in this alone. In God, you are the head of generations. And in God, you are accumulating rewards in heaven. And now, everybody, I want you to stand to your feet, and the whole audience, I want you to say with me. Ready? Everybody, in God, I am that man. Hallelujah. God is able. You want to give praise to God? Let's go into this chorus. Now let me just give you a couple of things before we dismiss this morning. All the men in the room, for 1 week, I'm back here next Sunday, God willing. For 1 week, every day, I want you to stand in front of the mirror one time, look at your handsome face. There was some laughter in the room when I said that. You have a handsome face. It was made by God. It's who you are. So don't compare yourself to who knows who. Look at your handsome face and out loud to yourself say, in God, I am that man. Because you got to remind yourself, the devil's going to say, no, you're not. You'll never be. You're not as good as this guy. For 8 days, once a day, look at your handsome face and say, in God. Notice that it's always in God, guys. We're not talking about positive thinking here. This isn't self-help. This is in God. I am that man. In God, I'm overcoming that temptation. In God, I'm... All right? That's assignment one. I'll check with you next week. Assignment number two, Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. Let God work on your behalf. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan, guys. Some of you, maybe there's a guy here, you're about to make a deal and you're going to have to lie to make it happen. Come on back to God's plan. Let him bless your life. Don't take it into your own hands. Stick to the plan. Wait for God. And thirdly, men, I want to just ask you to take one courageous step. You don't have to run up the grouse grind of challenge today. Just take one step of courage. What would that step be? Maybe it's to make a phone call to someone you haven't spoken with for a long time because the relationship broke down. It takes courage to call up and say, hey, I'm sorry. Those are huge words for men. I'm sorry. One of my ancestors is famous in our family. He died at about 90 years of age. His sons and daughters never once in their entire lives heard him say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Not once. The amazing thing is we can all tell about all his mistakes and all that. We all know. But he would never say it. Maybe that's a step of courage for you to say. Maybe a dad to say to one of your sons, son, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me. I love you. Just those words. Maybe that's a step of courage. My wife's father passed away last year. And it wasn't until like the last 6-8 months of his life that my wife heard him say freely, I love you too. She'd say at the end of a phone call, I love you, Dad. He'd say, yep, okay, bye-bye. Finally, near the end of his life, she'd say, I love you, Dad. And he'd kind of choke up. He was Swedish. I love you too. Wow, that's a lot of life to not have been able to say those simple words. Step of courage, guys. Maybe it has to do with honesty, to return something that doesn't belong to you. Maybe it has to do with an invitation to a buddy of yours that you really care about. Say, hey, next Sunday night, we're having this deal at the church. It's going to be really interesting about the stars, constellation. I want you to come. That takes courage. What's a courageous act? Some of you, it's in your marriage. You got to talk to your spouse today. You got to be truthful. Some of you guys in the room, an act of courage is because you're struggling with something and you need to find a brother that you can trust and say, hey, I'm going through this. I need your prayers. So guys, just one step of courage. Can you do one courageous thing today and let God work through your life? Let God work through your life. If today you're making a decision for Jesus for the first time, would you please, before you leave the room, just stop in at the guest services desk and just say, hey, I made a decision. We have literature for you there. We'd love to help you
in that journey. Next Sunday, we're going to focus again on a little more specifically on generosity. And I encourage you to be here. Encourage you to bring people in the morning. If they can't come at night, bring them in the morning. Next Sunday, there'll be an invitation for salvation in the morning as well as an invitation at night. So let's believe God that we can be all that God wants us to be. To all the men, God bless you. I want to say, you know, I believe in you. I believe that in God you can be what God wants you to be. So let's, for today, set aside all of the negativity, set aside all the comparisons, and let's find that mirror, guys, before the sun goes down. Look at your handsome face. Say, in God, I am that man. Father, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you that you have chosen us, not because we're amazing, but you've chosen us because of what you see inside of us. Lord, I want to ask that your presence and your power would be felt by every man in this room. Lord, if any of them came in here discouraged today, I pray they would be lifted up in Jesus' name, that they have a future. We pray for every marriage, Lord, that the men would rise up and be who you've called them to be. We pray for every family, every single man, every single woman in the room, God, that in God we can be what you've called us to be. We give you praise and thanks for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.